Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Hello, and thank you for joining us. Today, we are looking at the last part of 2 Corinthians 1. The title is Established in Christ. When I heard this title, I thought of foundations. Think about the foundation of a building. Normally, it is not visible, and it is usually one of the first things to be built. And the rest is built on top of the foundation. As long as the foundation is doing what it is supposed to do, there are no problems. However, if the foundation fails, you immediately see the results in the rest of the building. Are you established in Christ? This is like the foundation of our lives. Who we are and all we do changes when we are established in Him. We say this is the best place to start. Having Christ as your foundation and building your life on Him is the best decision you could ever make. If you haven't already done it, now is the time. Do it. Let's give our attention to Bible teacher J. Mark as he teaches us more about being established in Christ.
You don't need to have lived very long to discover that your most carefully laid plans often don't work out. The question is, how do you respond when your plans fail? One response to that is fatalism. That's the belief that events are fixed in advance and that you and I are powerless to change them. This leads to discouragement and despair, some people even to suicide. There's another response, and that's to recognize the sovereignty of God. As His followers, we make plans based on the best knowledge that we have of His will. But we admit that we can't see the whole picture like He does. When our plans change, we can still acknowledge His goodness and the fact that He's in control. Sometimes, when plans fail, those who didn't fulfill the plans are accused of being indecisive, or maybe uncommitted or uncaring. But you know, we should never reach that conclusion hastily. It's possible that there are legitimate reasons why they couldn't fulfill those plans. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 22, the Apostle Paul is defending himself from accusations by his critics in Corinth. We'll see how this defense of his actions illustrates how we too can be established in Christ. That's the title for my teaching, Established in Christ. So listen as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 22. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As Paul explains his change of plans to the Corinthian believers, he reveals to them and to us the ways in which you and I can be established in Christ. The first way we can be established in Christ is according to God's plans. Paul begins this section by referring to his previous statements about his confidence in God, in the Corinthian believers, and in the testimony of his own conscience. God had delivered him from what appeared to be certain death. That's in verse 10. The church at Corinth had played a part in his deliverance through their prayers. And then Paul's own conduct and communication with the believers were sincere and transparent. Paul says, I wanted to visit you again. Remember, he had planted the church at Corinth, and he had developed lasting relationships among the members there. Now he wanted to renew those relationships. And he also knew some of the challenges this church was facing. As a wise leader, he wanted to address them in person, so he made plans to visit. His intention was to visit Corinth on his way from Ephesus to Macedonia, and then to stop with them again on his way back through. We do not know why those plans changed, but the anti-Paul party in Corinth accused him of being careless and of changing his mind frequently. Now, when you look at how Paul followed God's plans in other places, it's hard to make that charge stick. In Acts 16, you may remember Paul and Silas were planning to preach in Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit said, "No, you can't do that." Instead, God gave Paul a vision of a man from Macedonia asking him to come and help them. Paul sensed that this was God's leading, and they set off for Macedonia. Now, that was a major change of plans, but not because Paul was indecisive or cowardly or uncaring. So Paul responds to these charges against him with an indignant negative. He asks, "Was I a yes and no man, not knowing my own mind or not keeping to my decisions when I thought I did know it?" He reminds his readers that he made his plans based on his understanding of God's will. Hopefully, you and I do that too. But we know from experience, sometimes God changes our plans. Have you ever wondered what God is doing when He changes your plans? I have. Like Paul, I've made plans for something that is clearly within the will of God, but the plans don't work out. And I've often asked, "Lord, why didn't this work out?" Sometimes I learn the answer, but many times I don't. But in that process, I'm learning to trust that God knows what's best. So let's not be like those in Corinth who criticized Paul's character because his plans didn't work out. Let's give other people the benefit of the doubt and treat them the way we want to be treated. And as you and I faithfully follow God's plans, we become more firmly established in Christ. The next way, then, that we are established in Christ is according to His promises. To strengthen his defense, Paul appeals to the example of Jesus. Paul's life was devoted to the service and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so the charge of insincerity and instability was really ridiculous. He reminded the Corinthians that the Christ who was preached to them by him and Silas and Timothy was not a yes and no man, wavering back and forth between two positions. Jesus was a consistent yes man. In other words, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And then Paul further reminds his hearers that they hadn't experienced Christ in a way that was uncertain or unsatisfying. The firmness of Paul's statement and his use of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, indicates that the person and the work of Christ were under attack from some of the false teachers there in Corinth. The proof of his truthfulness with them was the gospel which he preached. Paul writes, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." All the promises given by God are made possible and fulfilled in Jesus to the glory of God the Father. This was the gospel that Paul proclaimed. Throughout Paul's ministry, Christ was proclaimed as the yes of all God's promises so that the Father would be glorified. The Son of God taking on human flesh was tangible evidence of all God's promises being fulfilled in the past, the present, and the future. Have you experienced the yes of God's promises? Do those promises direct your steps like they did the Apostle Paul? Can you appeal to God's promises to validate His message through your life? His promises are absolutely true, and through them, you and I are established in Christ. And then the final way that we're established in Christ is according to God's presence. Here again are the final verses of the text to refresh your memory. "Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Here's how I follow Paul's argument. You accuse me of being unfaithful to my promises because God changed my plans. But the gospel I brought to you in Corinth was based on the unchanging Word of God, and it resulted in transformed lives. Furthermore, God has authenticated my ministry by giving me and all of you who truly follow Him the seal of the Holy Spirit. Here, Paul makes the ultimate appeal to being established in Christ. First, he refers to the anointing, that is, God's people being endowed with gifts by the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. And then next, he states that God has sealed us, that is, He has set His mark of approval and ownership on us that confirms we belong to Him. And finally, He has bestowed on us the Spirit Himself as the down payment of our eternal inheritance. A down payment, as you may know, is a legally binding promise that the entire amount will eventually be realized. The Spirit Himself is God's pledge of the fulfillment of our future glory with Christ. Have you received the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And no, that doesn't necessarily mean speaking in tongues, although it could. It means having the fruit of the Spirit in your life, things like love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. You can look at the list in Galatians 5:22. And it also means using the spiritual gifts God has given you to build up His body, the church. Do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit that you belong to God, as Paul mentions in Romans 8:14-16? Are you led by the Spirit of God as you walk through daily life, finding victory over the desires of your flesh? Are you confident in the security of your future based on the down payment or the guarantee that you have received? You know, as Christ followers, there will always be those who criticize us, even from within the church. But if you and I are truly committed to Christ and following His will, we can live with confidence. That certainly doesn't mean we won't make mistakes or that we'll never need to ask forgiveness. But it does mean that the accusations of others don't need to cripple us or deter us from the plans Christ has for us. Can you see the evidence of God's plans, His promises, and His presence in your life? If so, these confirm that you are being established in Christ.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching from God's Word. We trust that you have been blessed. The vision of Heralds of Hope is to use media, radio in this case, to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. As disciples of Jesus, we want to be like Him. And to be like Him, we study His Word. So thank you for joining us for today's study. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like a copy, just contact us and ask for it by title. Here is how you can reach us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you can write to us at Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you will find other helpful resources and more teaching programs like this one. So please look around while you are there. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. We look forward to next week and hope you will join us then as we study the next section in 2 Corinthians. Have a great week, and as Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him. Go now and live in that joy and peace.